Therefore, since the promise of entering his rest still stands, let us be careful that none of you decide to have fallen short of it. For we also have had the gospel preach to us, just as they did. But the message they heard was of no value to them, because those who heard did not combine it with faith. Now we will have believed into that rest, just as God has said. So I declared on oath in my anger, they shall never enter my rest. He yet his work has continued since the creation of the world. For somewhere he has spoken about the seventh day in these words, and on the seventh day God rested from all his work. And again, in the passage above he says, they shall never enter my rest. It still remains that some will enter that rest, and those who formerly had the gospel preached to them did not go in, because of their disobedience. Therefore, God again set a certain day, calling it today. When a long time later he spoke to David, as he said before, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart. For if Joshua had given them rest, God would not have spoken later about another day. There remains, therefore, then, a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For anyone who enters God's rest, also rest from his own work, just as God did from his. Let us therefore make every effort to enter that rest, so that no one will fall by following the example of disobedience. This is our text. Dear friends in Christ, that little word rest is also for us a very important word. All of us appreciate a bit of rest in this incessant pressure, which is a very real characteristic of the life which we lead, necessarily so in professional education. But rest is something that we look forward to, a bit of respite from the insistent pressure. And it is this thought which the writer of Hebrews, a man that he is, chooses on to illustrate the importance of our covenant relationship with God, a relationship ending in the eternal rest in heaven. To understand our text, it is necessary to recall that the writer truly wrote this letter for those who were in danger of slipping away from the Christian faith. All indications are, when those who read the book of Hebrews, that they knew the history, the faith, and the worship life of their covenant very well. And by analogy, the writer of Hebrews brings out again and again and again that the new covenant in Jesus Christ is greater than that of the old covenant. In the third chapter of Hebrews, the chapter preceding our text, and also in the Old Testament lesson which we just heard, the writer so very graphically goes into the guilt of disobedience of God's covenant people in the wilderness of Sinai. We need to keep in mind that God had rescued them from the awful state slavery in Egypt, that he had made them a free people, and above all, in that tremendous grace event of Mount Sinai, had made them his covenant people. And because of all this, they were now free from the awful agony of what they had experienced in Egypt. But God has made them yet another time, knowing that he would give them a land of rest, to use the language of the writer of Hebrews, that he would give them the land of Canaan to be their homeland, and here they could work, as it were, according to their own seed and need. And here in this land of rest, they were to observe the Sabbath day as a day of rest for man and for animals. And this day too would be a day of worship, of praise and thanksgiving to the covenant God for his great grace and mercy. So the text contains a very sad note. It tells us that God's people rebelled against God. He saw in his righteous anger God decreed that all those 7 years and older would not enter the land of rest, but that they would die in the bleak and barren wilderness. But their descendants, they would be privileged to enter the land of rest. They would receive the land of Canaan to be their home under the leadership of Joshua. Now, if you look at the two chapters which are remain to the text, you need to keep in mind that Psalm 95 plays a great role in what the writer of Hebrews has to say. And in verse 7 of this psalm, God through David issued a very earnest call to the people of David's day to hear God's voice. And the verb here in this, as used here, is a sense of a humble, penitent response to God's earnest call to repentance, to return again to the covenant faith. But the writer of Hebrews underlined that the term today applied also in his day, in the first century after Christ. And he also issued a very earnest call to his readers. He warns them against slipping away from the faith. He tells them that the rest of God had come in the Lamb of Canaan was but a symbol. It was a type of the rest of that rest which God had in mind for his covenant people. But they, like their forefathers of old, were in very great danger of slipping away from that rest and losing the eternal rest. We need to keep in mind that they were those who, with much joy, had listened to God's earnest call to attention. And through the call of God's good working in their hearts, had received God's gracious promise of forgiveness in Jesus Christ. But this great process of rest from the accusing conscience, of the certain promise of rest to follow and the life to come, this tremendous pleasure which is there, they were about to give away for something of God's left conscience value. He showed the writer's says in a very graphic way that they would lose their eternal rest, that they would lose the eternal peace with God. That call of the writer to the Hebrews is extended to us also today. And we are now also very grateful that God has said to us, come to me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. If you and I approach the Lord's table with deepest conscience, as we expressed just a few minutes ago, of our sins and our shortcomings, we are deeply grateful for God's forgiving grace in Jesus Christ, the Savior and Lord. And we are thankful that as His children, we have the great privilege to partake of this new covenant meal, and then to have the certainty again of God's great promises of forgiveness and salvation. And we are also grateful that sometime in God's time, He will call us to enter the eternal rest in the mountains above. And for all this, we thank and praise God. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.